As we come now to the Word of God, let us ask His blessing again on the reading and preaching of His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that You would keep Your promise to us, that when two or more are gathered in Your name, that You are there in their midst. We ask that Your Spirit would visit us, that Your Spirit would open our ears and our hearts and our minds, that You would speak to us through Your Word, and that we would be enabled to receive it, that we would hear You speak to us this evening. Pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 23. Well-known portion of Scripture, we'll be looking at the entire Psalm this evening. Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you weren't here this morning we looked at Psalm 88. Which is, if not the most dark, is one of the darkest portions of all of Scripture. It is a psalm written from the midst of struggle and pain. And it is an example to us of a man who perseveres despite the suffering that he is going through, because of the hope he has that his God does save. Now, Psalm 88 is one end of the spectrum of the emotions that are captured in the Psalms. Psalm 23 is practically the complete opposite end of the emotional spectrum of the Psalms. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most famous Psalms, and it has been a comfort to Christians for thousands of years. These words have been used by God to bring comfort to us because it teaches us about God. And not only does it teach us truths about God, it approaches us in a very pastoral and comforting way. To hear that the Lord is our shepherd, the one who cares for us, the one who provides for us, protects us, and provides a house for us. I wanted to follow up Psalm 88 with Psalm 23 so that we, as we leave this Lord's Day, we have this comfort that the Lord is our shepherd. He is our shepherd, and He cares for us. But before we jump into the entirety of the psalm, I wanted to take a moment to set the stage a little bit with verse 1. For verse 1, I believe, provides a summary of the entirety of what this psalm is saying. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the rest of the psalm then goes on to talk about how this works out in real life. That the Lord is our shepherd and He provides for us in all these ways in verses 2 and 3. That because the Lord is our shepherd, that in verse 4 He protects us. That we do not need to fear evil. And then in verses 5 through 6, that because the Lord is our shepherd, He prepares a home for us. We have a dwelling place with Him. And so I want to reflect a moment on this first verse to set the stage for this. And I want us to notice first that this is a personal psalm. David starts out here by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is something true about the relationship between him and God. One of the unique things about Christianity is that we do not believe in a God that is far off and distant. We don't believe in a God that is unapproachable. We believe in a God. We have faith in a God that is close to us, that has come down to our level to relate to us. He is our shepherd. And not only does he come close to us, to relate to us, but he relates to us in the language of a shepherd. Now, I don't know if anybody here has sheep. It's not a normal occurrence in our day and age, but a shepherd is one who cares for sheep. And in this day and age, he would have been out in the fields, out in the wilds. And the shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep. He takes care of them. He provides for their needs. And this is the language that God has, or God uses, to describe the relationship between him and us. He is not far off. He is not distant. He does not describe himself as someone that we can't reach, but he describes as someone, as a shepherd, who is with his sheep, who cares for his sheep, and he loves his sheep. And the application then is the second half of verse 1, where for David, the truth that the Lord is his shepherd means this: I shall not want. His needs are provided for. And as we work through the rest of the psalm, we will see how this works out, that because the Lord is our shepherd, we do not want. And our first point for this evening is this. We see in verses 2 and 3 that our God, because he is our shepherd, provides for us. Listen as I read verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When a shepherd is taking care of his sheep, one of the most important things for sheep, well, the two most important things for sheep, are food and water. You need food because if you don't have food, obviously the sheep die. And if you don't have water, again, the sheep die. But sheep just don't go off and find good pasture and good water on their own. The shepherd has to lead the sheep. He has to take care of them. He has to shepherd them to where the water and the grass is. Here we see that the Lord cares for the physical needs of his people. The sheep, on their own, are not going to take care of themselves. If you don't know anything about sheep, the number one thing you need to know is that sheep are dumb. And left to themselves, they do not survive very well. They need a shepherd to take care of them, to lead them to where green pastures are, to lead them to where water is, that they can be nourished and cared for. As I was preparing for the sermon, I was thinking about these verses, about that God provides for our physical needs. It struck me how often it is in my own thoughts and in other places you can see people think this way. We think about, is it really that important to God to care for my physical needs? We think often that God cares about the big things, that God cares about the big spiritual things. He cares about if I'm going to church. He cares about all the stuff that I do. He cares about, you know, all these other things out there. But does he care about our physical needs? We tend to think that those are less important. But the place where this psalm starts is it starts with the physical needs of the sheep, of grass and water. But that's actually a common theme in Scripture, that God cares for the physical needs of his people. The Lord's Prayer itself says, give us this day our daily bread. Christ himself said, look to the sparrows. Does not our Heavenly Father feed and provide for them? Know when any one of them falls? Does he not dress the lilies of the field? The application for us is that often we worry and we fret about our physical provision and our physical care. And we think that it's something that we need to do all in ourselves. That the physical needs that we have are not that important to God. We don't want to trouble Him with those things. If things get real bad, we'll come to Him. But we don't want to trouble Him with the day-to-day cares that we have. But Psalm 23 teaches us that the Lord is our shepherd. And He cares about the physical needs of His people. He provides for us. He takes care of us. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us to still waters. He does care for His sheep. He loves His sheep. And so He cares for the physical needs of His sheep. But not only does God provide for us for our physical needs, but He also provides for our spiritual needs, for the needs of our soul. Verse 3, He says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I mean, and notice even the picture that David paints for us in verse 2 of making me lie down in green pastures, leading me beside still waters. The picture being painted here is a picture of peace and tranquility, where the sheep don't need to worry about their provision. They don't need to worry and be disturbed in themselves about where their needs are going to be met from. Not only does God provide for our physical needs, but He provides comfort for our souls. We do not need to be disturbed, but He restores us, and He leads us to quiet waters. He leads us to green pastures where our hearts can be refreshed, where we do not need to be disturbed by cares for this world. Where it says in verse 3 that He leads me in paths of righteousness, a better translation of this would be, when we think of righteousness, we often think of right and wrong. And we think about salvation here. But I think rather what's going on is when He says, leads me in paths of righteousness, He's talking about in the right paths, in the better way to go. And particularly here, it has the application that in life, God provides and leads us in the directions we need to be for our provision. He doesn't lead us down bad paths. He is not a bad shepherd. But as we read earlier in Isaiah 40, He feeds His flock. He holds His lambs in His arms. And as a shepherd, He provides for the physical needs, but He also cares for the souls, the spirit of His sheep, as He nurtures them and carries them along. The Lord is our shepherd, and He provides for us. Now, the psalmist does not want for his needs because God provides for him as a shepherd. But our second point is that the psalmist also claims that because God is his shepherd, he does not want for protection. The shepherd protects his sheep. And we see this in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. We've already talked a lot about suffering and pain. We were looking at Psalm 88 this morning. But part of the hope that enables us to persevere through the times of darkness in Psalm 88 is because of the hope of salvation. And that is the same hope that we see here in verse 4. That even though the psalmist walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he walks through that darkness, his comfort is that his shepherd is with him. Sheep are weak animals. They have no mechanism for self-defense. They have no means of defending themselves. In fact, sheep are so dumb that they can actually die because they got stuck on their back and they can't even stand up afterwards. They need a shepherd who protects them from danger, that protects them from evil, from their enemies. Now, one thing to notice is that this psalm does not promise that we won't go through the valley of the shadow of death. In fact, it seems to imply that that's a normal occurrence of walking through the valley. But the hope of the psalmist is not that he avoids it. The hope of the psalmist is that the Lord preserves him and protects him and carries him through it. The rod and the staff of the shepherd. When a shepherd is out taking care of the sheep, he often has a rod with him. That is his weapon to be able to fight off wild animals that may come against the sheep. And this here then is ascribed to God, where God has a rod to defend his sheep against attack. And this leads the psalmist to not being afraid. He fears no evil, for his shepherd protects him. I just had a conversation this afternoon about persecution. And the question of, sometimes we're afraid that will we be able to persevere in that time of persecution? We don't always feel like we'll be okay. We know that God is sovereign, that God takes care of us, but sometimes in ourselves we wonder, will I actually persevere in that moment, when the enemy is there before me? Will I be strong? And one of the things I shared this afternoon was a story that perhaps many of you know about, Corrie Ten Boom. She was she was over in Europe during World War II and was involved in hiding Jews from the Nazis. But a story that she tells when she was younger is that she's at a railroad station with her father. And even as a young girl, she worries about that question. If someone were to attack me because of my faith, or to persecute me for my faith, would I be strong in that moment? And her dad says to her, they're at the train station, he says, "When do I give you the ticket to get on the train? Do I give it to you before we even get to the station? Or do I give it to you when you're about to get on the train?" She's like, "You give it to me when I'm about to get on the train." And the same thing is true in terms of God giving grace to his people when they are about to face those moments when they need it. God doesn't always give you the strength to go through the dark valley before you get to the dark valley. But the hope of the psalmist here is that when he goes through the dark valley, the rod of his shepherd will protect him. He does not need to fear evil. He does not need to be afraid of that moment. His God is his shepherd, and his shepherd protects him. We've talked about how the Lord, as our shepherd, provides for his sheep. And we've talked about how the Lord protects his sheep. But then in verses 5 and 6, the scene changes a little bit, where you have the Lord acting as a host, as hosting his children in his house. Verses 5 and 6, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now in verse 5 here, we have a little bit of a weird picture. Normally, you don't eat at a table when your enemies are nearby. That's not a normal occurrence. When your enemies are nearby, your normal emotional reaction is to be afraid. They're your enemies. They may attack you. They may harm you. So perhaps you can't even eat at that moment because you're a little worried in your stomach. But even more so, you wouldn't sit or even lay down at a table when your enemies are nearby, because then you're in a defenseless position. When you're at the table, you're focused on eating, and you're not in a position to be able to defend yourself if your enemy came against you. And yet here in verse 5, as we see the Lord providing a house, a dwelling place for his people, he prepares a table before them, even in the midst of their enemies. The image that this is trying to communicate to us is again connected with the first two points. God provides for his people. He sets a table for them. And he also protects them from their enemies. That even when their enemies come against them, even when they are in the presence of their enemies, they can still have peace and comfort such that they can dine at a table prepared for them by their Lord. And not only are they able to be provided for and protected by the Lord, but they are done so abundantly. Verse 5, when you anoint my head with oil, and the reference to the cup overflowing, this is reference to abundance. The cup is so full, there is so much drink that it's just brimming over. There's so much you can't even drink it all. And the anointing of the head with oil is a sign of abundance also, where they have been prepared for by their host. And there is no lack of want. There is no fear of an enemy. They are in a safe place. House. And then in verse 6, this is made explicit at the end there, where he says that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the hope that we look forward to as Christians. The story of the Scriptures, the story of God building a house in the garden and putting man in his house to take care of it. But we know from our Bibles that the fall happens and the house is ruined. And the story of Scripture then is the story of reconciliation between God and man, where throughout the Old Testament, the continual promises, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst. And God puts a house among his people, the tabernacle, and then later the temple, picturing the dwelling place of God being with his people. Picturing the dwelling of the shepherd being with his sheep. The shepherd's not separate, he is with them. But ultimately, in the end, we don't want to be sheep out in a pasture anymore, but we want to be brought into a house where there is no more wandering. There is no more needing to go out and look for provision that our shepherd leads us to. There's no more fear of enemies. But we want to dwell in a house with our Lord. And this is what is accomplished in Christ. Where Christ accomplishes through the cross is that reconciliation between God and man and establishing a house. Establishing a dwelling place where God comes and dwells in his people. Where the shepherd is as close to his people as he can get, as the Spirit indwells. But the house is not finished yet. If we remember the promise that Christ made to his disciples, when he says that he has to go ahead of them, what was the reason that he had to go ahead of them for? To prepare a place for them in his Father's house. This is the hope of the psalmist again, where he looks forward to the day where the house is provided for him by his God, and he dwells in the house of the Lord forever, where there is no more fear of lacking provision, for there's been a table prepared for him. There is no more fear of the enemies coming against him. He has been protected by his God, and he now dwells in a house where he can dine before his enemies, and his enemies cannot reach him. So, Christian, take comfort in the truth that the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Your physical needs are met. The needs of your soul are met by your shepherd. Protection from your enemies is met by your shepherd. And a house is being prepared for you now by your shepherd. So take comfort in that. Do not worry about what tomorrow brings, or where your needs are met. The Lord protects or provides for his people. Do not be afraid of the enemies, of the darkness, of the valley. For your Lord is with you. Your shepherd is with you, and he protects you, and he guards you. And look forward to the day where though we dwell with God, and we dwell with God now by his Spirit, but look forward to the day where we will be in his house together and we will see him face to face. The Lord is your shepherd, Christian. You shall not want. Rest in that. Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our shepherd, that you do care for us and provide for us, that you are not distant, but that you are close, and you're with us no matter what we experience and go through. We ask that as we go out this day, that you would help us to have a longing to dwell in your house, and that you would give us the strength to persevere until we reach that day when we are together with you again. Pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Shepherd. Amen.